Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. That was some spiffy little newscast, wasn't it? Sure it was. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Monday evening edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. At the controls and answering your calls is my lovely wife, Agnes. And what you heard there was just another baby step that we're taking in the creation of this, the Head On Radio Network, the Horn. Dedicated to principles of free speech, dedicated to principles of reclaiming this democracy,
this republic based upon principles of democracy, of taking it back from the ugly little jug-eared, pig-eyed fascists who are doing everything in their power to take it from us.
So we started with newscasts that I do in front of the Fourth Estate Radio and Bruce's All Things Reconsidered, and now we hope to add newscasts every evening in front of Head On at the top of the hour. It's what you call growth. It's what you call watching something take flight against all odds. It's what you call being part of the fight against the mean people. Yeah, that works, right? Sure. The mean people. And the mean people have the bit in their teeth. I don't quite know where to start this evening. There's so many busy mean people out there.
Love you.
Sorry, we were quieting down the pumpkins. You have to do that from time to time. No, mean people? Where to start with the mean people? How about South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds? He's a mean person. He's somebody that, I mean, thank God we don't have that whole Star Trek thing with the Vulcan mind meld. Because if you put the fingertips on his face and you crawled around inside Mike Round's filthy little brain, you'd find all kinds of hate for women. Which, frankly, I can't for the life of me comprehend. I mean, outright hate for half of the entire species? But that's the only way you can characterize what Mike Round's did today. Look, these knuckle-dragon-mouth-breathing little bozos in South Dakota know that their little law is illegal. They know it's unconstitutional. They did it anyway. With no regard to rape or incest, they criminalized abortion in South Dakota, and then it won't make it past the first court challenge. But they did it because they're mean and hateful and loathsome and, well, this is just the overarching definition, mostly Republicans. And I'm sorry, I can't work up a good kumbaya for him. I despise him for what they did. I despise him for what he did. Can you imagine having to be a physician in South Dakota looking at, say, oh, I don't know, a little 13-year-old girl who got done by daddy somewhere out in the cornfields, and saying, Well, I'm sorry, Sugar. You're going to have that baby because Mike Rounds thinks that incest babies have more rights than you do. That little couple or three or four or five or ten cells growing inside you has more rights than you do. So you're going to have your daddy's baby. Can you imagine? I'm not trying to be overtly grotesque. That is the effect of what they did. Agnes just reminded me, there was a story coming out of Utah over the weekend. And I can't remember, I don't have it in front of me now, but I can't remember the name of the syndrome, but it's something that happens as a result of not just a little bit of incest, but like institutional incest where everybody's having the babies and the babies are having the babies. And the next thing you know, people can't function on their own or make their own life decisions or provide for themselves or tie their own shoelaces. That's Utah. And that's what South Dakota wants to be. Utah, of course, the last state in the Union manifesting any kind of support for George W. Bush, kind of begins to explain itself, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. But how else, in the name of God, how else do you explain Mike Rounds, governor of South Dakota, signing this hateful, heinous bill into law? Can you... Does Mike Rounds have a daughter? Oh, my mean streak is trying to rise up, and I'm just... Does Mike Rounds have a daughter? What would Mike Rounds say to his dad? Hey, look, it was fair for Bernie Shaw to ask Michael Dukakis in 1988, sunshine. Let's ask it of Mike Rounds, governor of South Dakota, sir. See, I think the formal referent for a governor in the United States is still, you're going to love this, Your Excellency. Your Excellency, Governor Rounds. If your daughter was raped and impregnated thereby, in the sweet name of God, would you make her carry that thing to term and bear it? And what would you do with it afterward, you godless, soulless, motherless Republican, you? What would you do? Well, Bob, you see, I am a wealthy Republican, therefore we don't have to worry about the Republican ban on abortion in South Dakota, for we have money enough to cross state lines and go and get one in a civilized state. Yeah, you do, don't you, Mikey? You do. You've got the wherewithal to take your precious daughter somewheres else. Bill Frist would do it for free. That's right, Agnes. I detest these people. I despise these people. And what was her name? Julie Bartling? Enabler of this? A woman who calls herself a Democrat in South Dakota, in the Senate of South Dakota? Many more of these Democrats, and we won't need any Republicans. You know what I mean? So, and that's just one of the really mean, awful, hateful people that are on the Republican hit parade today. My God, we got 3 hours worth of ugly, mean, hateful people yet to come. If you want to get involved in the program, you are more than welcome to. You know the number, of course, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Email's just as easy, bob@headonradio.com. Jump on in any way you choose to. I'm Bob Kincaid. Over and over again, I can't keep your immunity, and it hurts so bad, yeah, 'cause it's all in my head. I think about it over and over again, I replay it over and over again, and I can't take it, yeah. I can't shake it, no.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORAKID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I'm guessing she wasn't in South Dakota. Good God. An email from our good friend Sue on Big Coal River. She says, a lot on the news this evening about Bush's trading of nuclear info to India for mangoes. Oh, God. Mangoes. He traded nuclear technology for mangoes. Yep, I know. I know. Jack, beans. You know, traded the cow. But Jack's beans grew. These ain't. No, we ain't gonna get no.
Mangoes will grow.
Not here. The discovery of so much corruption, Sue writes, in the Immigration Department. Council on Foreign Investment in the United States has not been doing reports on the effects of the selling of U.S. assets to other countries. Get this, and I appreciate the info, because this one just kind of makes my eyes go, you know, whoop, yeah, spin around like little carnival pinwheels. They are supposed to give reports to Congress every 4 years on this and haven't done so since 1994. Wait a minute! That number says something to me. 1994. Wait a minute. I got my hand on my forehead. Where's my little Karnak hat? 1994. Come on. What's 1994 the answer to? Help me here. 1994. The year the Republicans took over Congress. John Fund, then. John Fund. You know John Fund, don't you? John Fund likes women. John Fund likes women that he can slap around a little bit. You do know. Yeah. John Fund of the Wall Street Journal. Now, if you or I were caught out there,
Okay. First of all, we have to assume that I would live to see them the next morning if I tried to lay a hand on Agnes. But then, assuming that, and I was charged with domestic violence, I wouldn't be able to get a job shoveling. You get the idea. John Fund got all of that in a very high-profile case and got away with it. And John Fund was on Lou Dobbs' show tonight. He said, oh, sit back and wait for this one, especially those of you who care about, you know, organized labor, the right of working people to earn a decent wage, have some hope in their retirement, go to the doctor if they get sick. Yeah, that's right. John Fund, woman beater, said that the sale of our ports was necessary because the mafia has taken over the longshoremen's unions. And I, by the way, I did find out just casually paying attention over the weekend. You know, we were talking about, you know, when did this ports business all begin? When did we decide that Americans running American ports was somehow a bad idea? When did that happen? That's right. I don't hold myself out as any kind of a prophet or anything like that. But I said I couldn't imagine that happening on Bill Clinton's watch. It didn't at all. No, this was. This was Ronnie Reagan's doing.
Well, of course, we're too busy running our ports. Port is a nice little sweetened dessert wine, mommy.
Yeah, it happened under Ronnie Reagan. That's when they started selling America by the square foot, square yard, ounce, gram, whatever. This is more of that Reagan legacy. Remember, it's morning in America. That's right, it's morning in America, and you're walking down to the port, and it ain't ours anymore. Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. It is what it is. I'm sorry, little wingnuts. It's your hero Reagan at work again. And I know. Well, wait a minute. No. We're gonna divert from all of that, okay? We're not gonna pay attention to the fact that it was Reagan that started selling America's most vital national interest to the highest bidder. No, we're not gonna do that because what have I got in the email box from the wonderful people at Wingnut Story Placement Inc.? I've got it right here. Dadgummit. You hear it? Subject. Oh, no. That's a different one. No, this is good, too. Subject. Dr. James Dobson supporting gay marriage? We'll get to that one, too. This latest one for your consumption is pay no attention to the Republicans selling America off, you know, to people who funneled terrorist money, you know, whatever. No. It's about, well, come on. Come on, sports fans. Whose fault is it? One, two, three. Clinton's fault. That's right. In the midst of all this hogwash, we find out through Wingnut Story Placement. Man, they have, you know, I probably get one story placement thingy from a liberal or a progressive for every 15 I get from a Wingnut organization. This should tell you something. This is another one of those moments where, you know, we're so far behind the curve, we think we're on straight road. This is another one of those. And, What do we got here? Well, we've got the fact that Bill Clinton went to Dubai and apparently delivered an address, and they paid him some money to do it, so now the Dubai ports deal is Bill Clinton's fault. Gotcha. Right there. These people are morons. And I mean, this has been one of these has been bouncing into my box once a day for the last, well, ever since the Dubai ports deal broke. They have busted their ugly little humps trying to divert Americans' attention away from the fact that, you know, George Bush, he wants to sell the operation of these ports to an organization that funneled money for Al-Qaeda. I know, there's a group of people out there that thinks Al-Qaeda had nothing to do with 9/11. Okay, whatever. But That's not the point. It's the tourists. We've been told for 4 years, we've got to defend America from the tourists. And if you vote for that John Kerry, that sissy with the shrapnel in his ass, the tourists are going to get you. Why do you think it's in his butt? It's because he was running away. He's a coward, John Kerry. You got to re-elect me or the tourists are going to get you. And you know where them tourists come from? The tourists come from, that's right, Araby. That's right, your tourists are Arabs. Arab tourists. And they're going to get you if you don't give me every power that I ask for you to give me. All right? Do you understand? Well, one of those powers I want you to give me is the power to sell our ports to the Arab tourists. I know you think you don't understand it right now, but you haven't spent the years sucking down Mexican gasoline and Peruvian marching powder that I have. And it all becomes so clear after you have. And the little wing nuts are just out there. What's he saying? Mavis, I don't understand dear leader no more. Oh, merciful God. It's just astonishing. But it's all Clinton's fault. It's all Clinton's fault because he went and delivered a lecture in Dubai. No, I mean, I'm sure they paid him a chunk of change. But, you know, listening to a Republican the carp about Bill Clinton getting $1 million to go and deliver a speech somewhere. Well, you know, I mean, then again, he delivered a speech. I mean, with a Bush, you get a little bit. You don't get near as much for $1 million. With a Bush, you get, when you're a Bush, you get paid $1 million. And the most that you give him is you go to Japan and you vomit on the prime minister. No, I mean, George didn't deliver the speech. All they got was puke. Wait a minute. Oh, no, okay, never mind. They're making my head hurt. And like I said, I feel like some dude in a garrison somewhere who's been ordered to move a sand pile from point A to point B. And when I get to point B, we'll put it back on point A. Because that's what it is with Republican mean people. I've got the stack here, and I'm through two or three mean people, and there's probably more mean people building underneath the stack. I don't understand it. But we're going to wade through it tonight, you, me, us. We're going to have a damn fine time in the process. Phone number again, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. That's how it works. It's just that easy. Or drop me a line at bob@headonradio.com. This is Head On. We're not mean people. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, get a backbone, for God's sake. Stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
How can we help prepare our kids for the future? Hi, this is Roger McGuinn. These days, our children face challenges unimaginable to us only a generation ago. We adults need to help our kids find something in school that really sparks their interest and keeps them involved. If that something happens to be music, the child will benefit in so many ways. Playing music in school is a great way to make friends. Studies are showing that kids involved in music are less likely to get into trouble. And kids who studied music find science and math easier to grasp. They tend to score higher on SATs. It has something to do with something called spatial IQ. So get your kids involved with school music. It's a great way to help prepare them for life.
A PSA brought to you by MEMC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Broadcasting live from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
From evil South Dakota governors to, well, evil Bushes. I mean, what the heck. To evil PR people, because please understand, you know, there are PR flacks out there that work for the right wing, and I don't know, maybe they, I'm just putting food on my family. They're doing evil. If you're out there trying to make the rest of the world think that that chicken whoop is chicken salad, you're doing evil. And the evil just goes on and on. This isn't necessarily an evil person, but a manifestation of evil. You know, this is one of those here it comes moments where if we were really, really, you remember, 19th Nervous Breakdown by the Stones and mixing and here it comes, it's just your 19th Nervous Breakdown. Well, here it comes. We're going to... If it weren't for the fact, and John Murtha knows it, Jack Murtha, congressman from Pennsylvania, what was he on? Face the Nation, CBS, yesterday, talking about what it is that has happened to our military. He understands that there are some things getting in the way of the rest of the Bush family's evil scheme. He knows the mess that they've made in Iraq, they weren't counting on. They were going to march into Iraq and march on to Iran. But Murtha noted yesterday on Face the Nation that they can't quite do that.
The Iraqis don't pay attention to our advice. 80% of them want us out of there. 47% say it's justified to kill Americans. So we're caught in a civil war, and I'm convinced that we've diverted ourselves away from the fight on terrorism.
Yeah. That's exactly it. He went on to say that
what we were hoping to accomplish in Iraq. If you're willing to credit that there was ever any goodwill in the war on Iraq, that what we're trying to accomplish in Iraq, that we haven't.
When I say terrorists, I'm saying Al-Qaeda. They're using terrorist tactics. The Iraqis are using terrorist tactics. But I'm convinced they know where they are. They know who they are. But they won't tell us because they've turned against us. We've lost the hearts and minds of the people.
Yeah, we have. And, of course, you know, he can point that out. He knows that to be factual. That, I mean, he's been over there. You know, I'm no Murtha fan. You know, he was rah-rah and cheerleading the war for all that he was worth. He most assuredly was. But at least the scales have fallen off of his eyes. And he said, he put it very bluntly. He said, he asked a very trenchant question. Why should he even bother to believe the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Why believe him?
This administration, including the president, have mischaracterized this war for the last 2 years. They said it'll take 40,000 troops to settle this thing right after the invasion. Then they said there's no insurgency. They're dead enders, is what the Secretary of Defense said. On and on and on with mischaracterization of the war. So why would I believe the chairman of the Joint Chiefs when he says things are going well?
Why would you, Jack Murtha? Why did you in the first place? Why do we? We don't. I mean, if you look at the polling data, we don't believe these clowns anymore. You know, at the same time that Murtha was appearing on Face the Nation, across Washington somewhere in some little filth-infested rat hole that is NBC and wherever it is that they tuck away Tim Russert to do whatever it is that Tim Russert does, Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was on there with Russert. I don't have sound of this. I've only got a quote. I don't think I could stand it if I had the actual sound because I would have to scream. He said, and I quote, describing Iraq, okay, this is a four-star general marine. He described Iraq saying, and I quote, it is not a great smiley picture, nor is it a disaster. Where did he get that metaphor? Where did he get it? I mean, did he stop in at Walmart on the way to the NBC studio? It's not like what you see at Walmart. It's not the smiley thing. That's not Iraq. Oh, my God. What it is a very tough environment that still has a lot of work to be done, but one in which we're making very, very good progress. No, we're not. Daggummit, General Pace, quit lying to America. It can't make you feel good. You can't feel good about it when you come home at the end of the day. Well, what did you do today, honey? I lied to the American people some more, dear. Golly Moses. You know, and at least Murtha understands what attitudes like those of Peter Pace. Well, you know, it's not a smiley face kind of thing, but it's not a frowny face thing either. At least Murtha understands what it's doing to our troops.
I've seen for a year the morale was starting to deteriorate because they don't believe there's a mission. It's open-ended. There's no point to them being there because when they go out, what's your mission, I'll say to them after I question them for a while and talk to them. And they say, well, my mission was to find IEDs. And that means the way they find them is blow them up and lose a leg or lose an arm or be blinded, as I saw the other day.
But the problem is that Murtha, and I hope that we do, I'm sure, I hope a lot more people, other people understand. The problem is that Peter Pace and before that Richard Myers and everybody up to after the point where Bush cashiered John Shalakashvili for saying, you know, this is going to be a 500,000 man kind of thing. Everybody after that has been actively involved in really trying as hard as they can to just screw up. And Murtha at least recognizes that now we have got to fix the army.
our military is in such bad shape it couldn't deploy to a second front. And the Iranians know this. This is not something I'm telling Iranians. North Korea knows it. China knows it. We're depleting our resources in Iraq, which is a civil war. We should redeploy out of there and redo the army, redo our military so that we can prevent a war in a second front, so we can say to Iran, look, fellas, you know, you have to be very careful about what you do because we can use military force.
But you see, we're dealing here with screw-ups. Whether it's Peter Pace or his predecessor Richard Myers, or whether it's General Ricardo Sanchez on the ground in Iraq, or George Bush or Rumsfeld, you know, spin the little wheel of screw-ups and see which one you land on. They don't care that they've broken the military because, well, this is an exclusive from ABC News. Iraq weapons made in Iran? Intelligence officials say weapons responsible for increasing U.S. deaths in Iraq. Dateline today, U.S. military and intelligence officials tell ABC News that they have caught shipments of deadly new bombs at the Iran-Iraq border. Do you see where this is going, gang? They're a very nasty piece of business, capable of penetrating U.S. troops' strongest armor. Oh, well, I guess the homemade IEDs weren't nasty business at all. They just blew, you know, Marines limb from limb, and Army soldiers limb from limb, and Navy SEALs and corpsmen and whatever limb from limb. They weren't a nasty piece of business, but by God, these are coming from Iran, so they're a nasty piece of business. God. Brian Ross wrote this, as did Richard Esposito and Jill Rackmill. And who fed it to them on silver spoons from the Pentagon? Nasty piece of business, my butt. What the United States says links them to Iran are telltale manufacturing signatures. Kilroy was here, in Farsi. Certain types of machine shop welds and material indicating they are built by the same bomb factory. Oh, my God, it does say Kilroy was here in Farsi. The signature is the same because they are exactly the same in production, says explosives expert Kevin Berry. So it's the same make and model. Jesus, these aren't old Fords. These people told us they were going to use aluminum tubes. Aluminum tubes? They told us they were going to use aluminum tubes for building nuclear weapons. Right? You remember that? I remember that. Didn't Dear Leader say that very thing? Unless I'm mistaken. Yeah, I think he did say that very thing.
Iraq has made several attempts to buy high-strength aluminum tubes used to enrich uranium for a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that was just a great big stinking lie. So here it is. These screw-ups, they want a war with Iran. Because, you know, like I've said before, Dear Leader's bored with the war that he has right now. You know, he screwed this war up. He wants to move on to a new war. So that maybe we'll start, you know, we'll go out into the streets and burn Dixie Chicks records like when it was cool and fun. And dudes with St. Louis Cardinals t-shirts will stand around with a poster that says, Get a Clue, Morans. Those were the good days. Those were the good days.
I think the evidence is strong that the Iranian government is making these IEDs, and the Iranian government is sending them across the border, and they are killing U.S. troops once they get there, says Richard Clark, former White House counterterrorism chief and an ABC News consultant. I think it's very hard to escape the conclusion that in all probability, the Iranian government is knowingly killing U.S. troops.
What hell? You think? Really? Nah, not the Iranians. But this, you know, these are the first little tinny tap, 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 taps of the drumbeat. The drumbeat to war. Merciful God.
The United States is India's largest trading partner. The United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
And dying in Iranian sand. Lord God, Billy Bob. You know, these people, well, these are some pretty nasty devices. Of course, they won't bother to remind you, Brian Ross and Richard Esposito and Jill Rackmill. They won't bother to remind you that the other IEDs, the ones that apparently weren't so nasty, that those were killing our Marines and our soldiers because they didn't have appropriate body armor. They don't want to remind you of that. No, because they don't work for ABC so much anymore. They're sort of like they're subcontracted out to ABC from who? Well, the White House. They're subcontracted out to the to ABC from the White House. So they're not going to be talking about things like inadequate body armor killing American soldiers and Marines. Nah, not going to do that. So, in our running theme for tonight of just mean people, shall we add Brian Ross, Richard Esposito, and Jill Rackmill to our list of mean people out there helping the Bush administration try to drum up World War freaking III so they can make Jesus come back or whatever? Nah, this is the oil. Oh wait,
these wars aren't about oil. Oh no, these wars aren't about oil at all.
Then, what the hell are they about, huh? What are they about? So we'll take a quick break and come back. Your phone calls are welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Me, sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
I work the shoe
we're
leather
a nice
group.
Little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
A man who has the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. It's Bob Kincaid.
All right, let's go to the phones. David is with us from Nashville. Hey, David, you're head on.
Well, Bob, so good to talk to you so early in the week. How fortunate.
Well, a very happy Monday evening to you, sir.
A happy Monday evening to you. So, some informed talking head with a small waist and small brain named Jill Arachnid wants us to believe these are nasty little bombs.
Oh, nasty. These are really nasty.
Ms. Jill Arachnid. Okay, great. Yeah, right.
Jill Arachnid, that's right.
You got it. Well, I got a little thing here. I bet I don't get to finish this thought process. But let me kick this off, and let's see how quickly you cut me off and you go right there. You got a 13-year-old brain and a 13-year-old body, and you've just stuffed an M80, a TNT, a good old cherry bomb down the mouth of a frog, and you've really enjoyed seeing pink mist going all directions. What's the next thing that 13-year-old mind and that 13-year-old body wants to do?
I wonder what would happen if I did it something bigger.
Or just see another one.
Well, yeah.
Well,
but sooner or later, you get tired of frogs.
What if there's a 13-year-old mind and a 51-year-old body, or 54 or 60-year-old body, and he's got lots bigger ordnance now, and he's blown up one, and he's got the same attention span he had when he was 13, and he's got the same unresolved, identity issues he had when he was 13.
Yeah.
He's got the same unresolved substance issues when he was 13, but he's got his finger on the big red button. What's he want to do next, Bob?
I want to see it work.
I want to see. I want to blow up another. Exactly. And that's the scary part. That's the intensely scary part. It's the frightening part, because this double-digit IQ retard has his hands on the throttle of our engine. And we're headed down tracks that...
What red line?
Yeah, they're headed down the tracks that end in Iran. They don't go beyond Iran.
No, they go backwards from Iran.
Or the engine disappears, and the coal car disappears, and the passenger cars disappear, and the troop trains disappear. We think Vietnam was a nightmare. We were stronger. We were much more ready
to
Vietnam than we are ready or virile enough right now. We've sapped our strength. We've given 2 quarts of blood, and we're going to go run a marathon now?
I
don't think so.
I know. It's pure unmitigated craziness. You know, you're absolutely right about the military structure that we had going into Vietnam. I mean, that was still pretty fresh from Korea, which was pretty fresh from World War II.
It had sagged some, but not that much. And there were so many more of us that in ignorance and with our eyes banded, with the blinders on and the blindfolds properly applied, we thought, well, the domino theory, we've got to stop them, we've got to do this, we got to do that. Oh, those ugly, ugly kids with bandanas soaked in urine screaming F you in Kent State or San Francisco or Chicago, oh, they've got to be dead wrong. We've got to defend America by going over there and killing us just several boatloads of yellow fellas. We got to do that. Well, we learned, but we were so much more ready to do that physically and mentally. And none of our troops are ready physically or mentally to do that. Not, I shouldn't say none. A significant number are in a weakened state.
Well, we're not prepared for Iraq. Hell, we weren't prepared for Iraq.
No, we weren't, because we were told we were going to cruise in there. We wouldn't even have a flat tire on a Humvee with regular tires, and it was going to be flowers, chocolate, tea on a rug with some rug pilot, and then in about 6 months, the oil revenue would rebuild it all. We would leave, and the rest of the world would say, look there.
Yeah, but see, there's a lesson out of all of this, David, that we didn't pick up. And part of the reason for ending the draft after Vietnam was a notion that we didn't have any business ever getting involved in another Vietnam. So
that's quite true, and America wanted no more of a draft. America, by asking for an all-volunteer army, implicit in that, Bob, and this is one time where I'm going to get on my soapbox, more than ever, I was there.
America, yeah, you were.
Wanted to put it to a vote.
Yeah,
And the whole thing behind the idea of an all volunteer so-called professional military, David, is that they're not designed to go conquer countries. A professional all volunteer military is designed to maintain a military presence sufficient to defend this nation against attackers. And when you're over getting blown up in Iraq, you're not defending diddly. You're on the offensive. And that was never designed to be an offensive army.
Well, two things, and we see that one a little differently. One, a retroactive point. When America wanted a volunteer army, the implicit demand, and it was very thinly veneered, was that America felt that if they had an all-volunteer army and you wanted to do more than that all-volunteer army would allow you to do, you were, by God, going to convince everybody in America it was a damn good idea, and that hasn't happened to this day. Now,
no.
As far as what this current army, I would differ with you in that every army is there to engage and kill and conquer. I've heard that a million times, and I think that to be true. What they're not designed to do is to stay on the same ground 18 months and deal with an insurgency. They're not there to be police people.
No, they're not that either.
That's where you and I may see that a little differently. I still think we used to have, by training and by equipment and by numbers, we could have had a fine conquering army that did it, and then should the enemy be vanquished, that would work out just fine. But we didn't. When we drove through there, all they did was disappear. We pulled a statue down. Junior Champ put his flight jacket on and said, "Mission accomplished." Well, all of the people that faded into the background said, "Whoops, got a newsflash for you. It'll take about 2 years for you to really understand that you haven't gotten it, but I'm going to convince you." 15, 18, 20...
Yeah, and you wanted us to bring him on? Yeah, we're bringing it.
Yeah. Now, that was brilliant.
Yeah. Hey, David, we're trying really hard to be very good and meet our little formatic goals, so I'm gonna carry you over out of the news, if that's okay.
Well, I tell you what, let's leave room for somebody else. I've had my shot, and, you know, if it gets lonesome, I'll check in later.
Okay, sounds good.
Save room for somebody else, and God bless the break.
All right. Take care, brother.
See
later.
You.
Our good pal David in near Nashville. Okay, let's do take that break and hit it and come back. And after the news, we'll get after it again. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
Head on Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch. Women in South Dakota may no longer make their own medical decisions. Governor Mike Rounds signed a bill today that takes away a woman's right to privacy. All forms of abortion are now illegal in South Dakota. An appeal of South Dakota's assault on women will be filed almost immediately. Officials with Bell South and AT&T are hailing their merger for its cost savings for the company. AT&T announced Sunday it will buy Bell South for $60 billion in stock. The monopoly in the making will have customers from Georgia to California, as well as a nationwide wireless telephone network. 10,000 Americans will lose their jobs because of the merger. Federal prosecutors, desperate to punish at least one person for the attacks on September 11, 2001, delivered opening statements today in the punishment phase of the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. Federal prosecutor Robert Spencer turned an anti-Bush slogan on its ear in his remarks, saying that Moussaoui lied and 3,000 people died. Spencer claimed that by maintaining his innocence after his arrest, Moussaoui caused 9/11. The right against self-incrimination is enshrined in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. Pat Tillman's father has no faith in the Army's ability to get justice for his slain son. Pat Tillman Sr. said Monday that he is pessimistic the Army investigation will shed any new light on his son's death. Pat Tillman Jr., a star football player for the Arizona Cardinals who gave up a multi-million-dollar contract to join the Army, was killed by so-called friendly fire in April of 2004. The Army announced an investigation into negligent homicide a few days ago. Chief Justice John Roberts released his first Supreme Court opinion today. The nation's highest court issued a unanimous ruling stating that American colleges and universities must let military recruiters prey on their students or lose federal funds. The justices ruled that the military's free speech rights outweighed the free speech rights of the law schools who challenged the law. George Bush wants more congressional power. The White House introduced legislation today that would give the line item veto to Bush. The Supreme Court declared the line item veto unconstitutional when it was passed for President Clinton. Bush says he wants it anyway so he can cut congressional spending. An Iraqi army general was killed Monday near Baghdad. General Mubdar Hadir was shot dead in western Baghdad. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace says there is no civil war in Iraq. Pace, whose credibility was questioned by Congressman John Murtha on Sunday, said all the violence in Iraq was being caused by a, quote, relatively small number of individuals, unquote. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, he said there has been progress in training the Iraqi army. However, there are no Iraqi units capable of operating on their own. Pace said, quote, it is not a great smiley picture, unquote.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Nine people were killed and 53 were wounded Monday in car bomb attacks in Baghdad. An American soldier was killed Monday in Iraq's bloody Al-Anbar province. With characteristic reticence, the Pentagon would only say that the American soldier died, quote, as a result of enemy action, unquote. Israeli aircraft flew over Gaza City Monday, launching attacks that killed five people. Three of those killed by the Israelis were children, Palestinian boys aged 9, 15, and 16. Sources said they were innocent bystanders. Viewers of Sunday night's Oscars were surprised as Crash, an ensemble film about racial tension in Los Angeles, took Best Picture honors. Most insiders expected Brokeback Mountain to take the top prize. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. Great to have you on board for hour number two of this Monday night. You know, Monday night is my favorite night of the week. It's the opportunity to get back into the saddle, get back into the swing of things, and start the fight all over again. And fight, by God, we do and shall. The phone number, of course, you probably know it if it isn't already tattooed on the back of your neck. 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, Head On. You can call, too, Agent Fred, if you feel so inclined. We know you're listening from a service provider in Reston, Virginia. Feel free to chime right in if you've got enough nerve to go Head On. But you're most likely a Republican, and you don't have much in the way of courage, or else you'd be over sucking up IED blasts in Iraq. So let's do go to the phones, and we've got Rick in Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, you're Head On.
Bob, superb. Having Birch do the newscast at the top of the hour and then coming right on at six past, you're the guy, man.
We're trying, man. We're trying.
I'm telling you, you will be so glad you guys did this. It's a pain in the noogies right now, but believe me.
Well, you know, we'll get through it. I only have to do two a week. I do them for Fourth Estate Radio and All Things Reconsidered, and then we've got Bruce and John down, and John Fox down under says he's happy to carry some of the weight too. So you know.
That's fantastic. Well, I know you're not, you know, this isn't your first time around the block. You know how important this is.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, I just wanted to weigh in. You know, there's been a few things that have really bothered me lately. You know, it's just, for some reason, they're repeating. I can't imagine why, but the news media has seen fit to be able to comment on this little episode on the deck of the aircraft carrier. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry. I apologize to the guys on it. But where he said the mission was accomplished, that one there.
Yeah.
And I saw it again yesterday or late evening. And it just occurred to me, because of everything I know about Iraq, and most Americans know this about Iraq, at that point in time, it was a one-stoplight town, and it didn't even have the power to keep the damn red light flashing. It was just beat up. The only place that people were partying was in Saddam's castle. That's it. Everybody else was down under because of all the sanctions and everything that had been going on.
Well, you know, what were the official numbers, Rick? How many? And see, this is one of those things that may. And I want to make things clear. I mean, when I catch wrong being done, I will call it on either side of the aisle.
Oh hell yeah!
I think, you know, this is one of those moments that reminds me and lets me know that I'm pretty sure Madeleine Albright's going to burn in hell right next to George Bush too, because I remember when she was asked about the million, literally the 1 million children who had died as a result of Western sanctions against Iraq. She said, well, you know, all in all, I think it was worth it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's
so yeah. I mean, it wasn't exactly perpetual springtime in Baghdad.
Oh, for Pete's sakes! If anybody doesn't understand, if you don't get it, the Clinton administration was a Republican administration. It was almost Republican light, but not quite. That was a ringer that was put in through the, what do you call it, DLC, whatever it is.
Well, Clinton invented the DLC.
Huh?
Bill Clinton invented the DLC.
Yeah. They were all part of that. They were what they were is you can see it now with Bill Clinton dancing with Babs and George Bush Senior. Can't you see what was going on? You were hijacked, Democratic Party. You were hijacked and ripped off by these scumbags. But the thing that it brought back to me or gave me this image when they said when Bush came out and they replayed that thing, and I just said to myself, It reminds me of a kid, like a 9 or 10 year old really mean kid, hitting a kitten with a sledgehammer and then saying, "Look how brave am I." That's the way I see the Iraqi war. There was no honor in that. I mean, a Klingon would take a whiz on us, for Pete's sake. You know? I mean, there was no honor in defeating a bunch of refugees and a little tin pot dictator that didn't even have an army that would fight for him, at least not in the open. Okay? I mean, I'll give Saddam a little strategy, kudos for having his guys slip behind enemy lines to be able to run the backdoor stuff. But, you know, they were... It was like to brag about that is like, you know, smacking around a little kid and saying, "Look at me, I'm a real man." I don't get it.
Well, it's the same mindset, Rick, that says, you know, "I want my woman today. I'm feeling mighty manly."
Yeah, I mean, it's just so embarrassing and humiliating, and then to dress all up in that ridiculous costume that obviously didn't fit in part. You know, and to look so bizarre, like you just walked on to the set of some really, really cheap gay movie, you know, and then try to behave as if everything was normal. I mean, I was cringing. I was literally hiding my eyes, trying to look at Bush, going, "Oh my God, doesn't he know?" You know, but
no.
He obviously didn't get it.
No,
but oh, jeez. I mean, I can't believe they have the. You Republicans, stop dragging that up. Honestly, take a look at that, man. Honestly, take a look. Don't say that word. It's bad. How about the all-volunteer army?
Yeah.
You were talking about that earlier, okay? How all the students and all that kind of stuff got together to put that volunteer army. I was in those streets back in those days. I'm 50 years old, man, and I was a young guy, and I was out there in them streets and marching with these people and saying solid and cool and flipping this peace sign. I was there, all right?
Yep.
Let me tell you what I discovered about my hippie brothers, right?
Okay.
They turned around and got what they wanted because they didn't want to go to war. And then as soon as they got that handled, they had an unlisted number. You couldn't find them anymore. And the next thing you know, we got a new generation, and it was called the Me Generation,
yep.
Which was a very private, very exclusive, going back up the social ladder, going back to school, getting your degree, and leaving everybody behind. Now, that wasn't the case for all of them, because
there's a lot
of people that worked the trenches that stayed down there, like that dude that fought for Attica. Wasn't it Compson or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, William Cusman and people like him, they stayed in the trenches and they worked, right? And, but for the most part, these people got what they wanted. They didn't have to go. They got out of Dodge, and then they left everybody else to sort of like twist in the wind. So I got mixed feelings about that little part of the era, about who they were fighting for.
I've remarked on that a little bit from time to time too, Rick. There was this notion that once the Vietnam War was over and Nixon had been run away, that the job was done.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
And then all of a sudden, if you look into the future a little bit, where we are, or just a little bit behind us now, all of a sudden you got these guys becoming hawks. You got.
Well, look at Janice people. Rogers Brown. Look at Janice Rogers Brown, Rick. She was literally a Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Marxist in college when she was a hippie of sorts, you know, power to the people, you know. And she's sitting on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals as a nominee of George W. Bush, and she went for, I don't know that she underwent such a sea change. She's still a Marxist.
Oh, I mean...
Of the really virulent cultural revolution, kill those who don't agree with us variety.
Right, burn the book crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how about that wonderful lawyer? I used to love this guy, man, especially when he was on the O.J. Simpson team, you know? You know what I'm talking about? The guy that defended that guy that shot his wife up with insulin?
Oh, Dershowitz?
Yeah, the Dersh. I used to love the Dersh. This guy, all of a sudden, now that he's too old to go and fight, becomes a hawk and tortures okay.
Torture becomes a wonderful thing to do.
Well, yeah, and well, there's other. I mean, you know that there are other dynamics at work there too. There are some there are some people for whom, as long as it's Arabs you're killing, you know, it wasn't okay to kill Vietnamese Arabs though. Well, you know, for various and sundry reasons, it's okay
but
to kill Arabs.
I didn't label them with the race card because I did. You know, I didn't want to. I don't think it's necessary to even go that far. I don't think it was necessary. This guy here was what you know. He's just a perfect representative of what I was talking about earlier. About getting oneself out of Vietnam and then turning around and not having a problem with sending your sons to Vietnam.
Yeah.
And then that, and you know, who's that guy there, that black guy that's in the Black Caucus there who wanted to start a draft for everybody?
Oh, Rangel.
You know what I'm talking
Rangel.
About.
Yeah, Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel. I love that guy. And he's got the right idea because he knows darn well it would expose the Republicans and the alleged Democrats for what they are if they had to send their kids to go fight this war.
Oh, yeah, sure. And
everybody just beat on him. Man, all the Democrats beat on him so bad and missed it completely, what he was trying to do. Yes, he wanted to legitimately start a draft. Did he want our kids to go? No. He wanted to force these people to make a decision about war. When you got an investment, you start thinking.
Yeah, when that investment is comprised of blood and gristle and sinew and bone, maybe you take it seriously.
Yeah, maybe, just maybe, you can find another way to get it done without sending Biff and Barbie to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean. But, you know, that's the thing, Rick. I talk about us. And when I say us, I mean ordinary working folks, you know, people who listen to this show, that you know, people who get up and go to work every day or, you know, do whatever they can to get by or just trying to survive, you know, that whole Jimmy Buffett lyric. They're generally pretty smart people. But every now and then I look up and I think that, you know, and I'm talking about our Democratic leadership, not so smart.
Well,
they couldn't see that what Charlie Rangel was doing was forcing the hand of the Republicans, just like the Senate Democratic leadership couldn't see that they were in the catbird seat with Sammy Bad Breath Alito. They couldn't see that if they
we have been in the catbird seat right along, but when you've got a group, a powerful group of Democratic light, then I mean super light, that is a whole bunch of Republican. Mediocre to almost extreme, that's hiding out in your party, that's calling all your shots, is the ones getting all the FaceTime on Meet the Press and everything else. What you've got is a situation of nothing more than good cop, bad cop, every Sunday morning, every
wrestling.
Sunday morning.
Wrestling.
That's right. That's all you got. One last thing, my friend, before you go to break, and that is this. I love the way Mike Malloy demands that you Republicans defend yourself, defend your ideology, defend your president. And you can't do it because it's a catch-22, because you're married to the indefensible. You cannot defend which is illogical and which is against what you say you stand for. And as long as you put yourselves in that situation and you refuse to disjoint yourself from this ludicrous behavior, you're going to always look like a fool. Every time you come up the bat to talk to me, to talk to Bob, to talk to the rest of these people listening to the show, and talk to Mike.
Well, you know, and Mike is correct in his assertion along these lines. That's why the, you know, when you see the 34% numbers, Rick, what you're seeing there is with a few added in exceptions, you're seeing the hardcore. The fundies and the corporatists, you know, the really nasty little cancerous knot of them that remain in America, because nothing, logic, reason, facts aren't going to sway them, not in the least.
I hear you.
They're pure poison. Thanks so much, Rick. Good to hear from you, man.
My pleasure. Have a good show, and I'll be listening.
All right. Take care.
And good night.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And a quick email from our buddy Gene in Oregon with regard to Brother David's comments regarding the military and more particularly George Bush. He says, I agree with everything David says, but comparing George Bush to the retarded is an insult to the retarded. No retarded person would be this stupid. That being said, David, I enjoy your rants. Thanks, Gene. Thank you, Gene. Let's go to a quick break. When we come back, Let's see. We got Iraqi weapons. No. Well, you know, okay, I got something. I mentioned it earlier. I do love watching the right-wing fun days come a little bit unglued. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at 3 times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show, where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Because liberals built America. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 25 past the hour. Let's go straight to the phones. Bob is with us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're Head On.
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Welcome to the new week. Happy Monday.
Well, we're stepping into a ice storm up here, the way it sounds.
Ugh.
No, it's bad up here when it comes, if it comes.
Oh, the ice is always worse than the snow.
Yeah, it'll take down lines and power lines, and people will be out of power.
You got a generator and stuff there?
Oh, I've got backup for the backup here. I don't play these games. I just understand them a whole lot better than most.
Yeah.
You know, there's a funny thing. Most people don't understand history, and the rest of them think I don't know. But, Bob, I pray that everyone that can hear my voice would just go in and Google, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just read Smedley Darlington Butler, Smedley D. Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R,
mm-hmm.
Smedley D. Butler, okay?
Yep.
You know, and war is a racket.
Yes, it absolutely is.
I mean, it's a racket like the mob, okay? And this Peter Pecker Pace.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'd like to meet him. Oh, God, I would. Because I got sucked into a war.
Yeah.
An ugly one. And everybody keeps bringing it up. Vietnam. Guess what? If you go into Iran, Vietnam will be a picnic compared to what you're going to get.
Right, because, and I think what David was mentioning earlier is correct, Bob. We had a considerably more prepared military going into Vietnam, and that was, you know, that was wrong. But we still had a military that was at least somewhat prepared to do it. We weren't prepared for Iraq, and the Iranians will fight back.
Does anybody in this country remember the irradiated deaths, the ones they used to test the atomic bomb on, okay? They
mm-hmm.
tested it on our soldiers, our infantry, our airmen, our Marines, our fighting men. They tested the bomb on them. Does anybody remember them? No, because they are forgotten history. They're hidden history. They're something you don't want to know about, that we took young, virile men from this country, put them out in the deserts of Nevada, and just irradiated them to the point where they died miserable, horrible death. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to talk about a miserable, horrible death for all of us? Just go into Iran. Go on in there. Just go attack them. Just be a Republican and go, hey, just wave your flag and follow George Bush into Iran. And you will be one of the, what they used to call them, toasted pigs. Okay?
Yeah.
Toasted pigs is what they called our soldiers. Okay? They didn't, you know, they irradiated them and called them toasted pigs. Well, welcome to the 21st century. Okay?
Yeah.
Welcome to the 21st century, because George Bush is going to irradiate you. He's going to wipe out you, Agnes, and all your beautiful children, and your veteran father, everyone.
Yeah, I've said that for a couple of years now, Bob, that this man is going to get us killed.
Well, guess what? No, he isn't. We're going to get us killed if we keep following him. Okay?
Well, God knows I'm not following him. You're not following him.
No, I'm trying to get up close enough to him where I can put a...
Nah, you can't say that on the air.
I didn't say it. I just said I'm going to put a boot in the best part of his posterior that I can get it in, and it'll be a 12 and a half boondocker.
Yeah, well, that okay, that's a little bit closer, but I could still get a visit from H.R. Fred.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Bob. I caught myself the other day. I was
No, don't be. Don't be. Don't be, Bob. But we got to hit it. We got to hit our cup of Joe.
Okay.
All right.
I thought I just listened to Joe.
No, that was just a promo.
Oh.
This is tonight's Cup of Joe report.
Ah. I like Joe. I don't.
Joe's a good guy, and I think he's a little bit chapped today.
I was going to tell you something.
What's that?
The internet was kind of really giving me troubles until I had to do a whole bunch of cleanup and go in and take out a whole bunch of bugs.
Cookies, viruses, spyware, bugs. Oh yeah, yeah.
All that. I spent about half an hour getting it out of the way.
Oh, it's
and
a job.
And the next thing I knew, then Glenda was tapping me on the shoulder, telling me to change the propane tank. So
never a break, man. Bob, I hope the ice doesn't hit, but if it does, it's good to know that you're prepared.
Well, I am, but there are tens of thousands of people that have no idea.
Yep.
And the problem is they need to wake up.
Yes, they do. All right, we're going to hit it, Bob. You have a good one, all right? Take care.
I love you, son. I do. Hey, I really do love you.
I know.
Glenda does, too. Bye-bye.
We love you all as well. Take care.
Oh, I know you do. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Ben Birch of the White Rose Society has another fundraiser going on. Ben does fantastic work in archiving numerous radio shows, including the Cup of Joe show done by yours truly. I'm not bringing that up just because I'd like you to make a donation, which, of course, I do, but to highlight, once again, the problems we face on the left. Yes, that means I'm going to get all negative again. A big reason why the right now dominates the message in this country is that years ago, they threw a lot of money into creating media outlets to have their voices heard. Through a combination of corporate money and money from financiers such as Richard Mellon Scaife, they bought radio stations, newspapers and magazines, and otherwise spread the wealth around. But that's not what we do. People like Ben and myself are forced to beg for donations because the money pockets on the left are stingier with their wallets than any Scrooge. Where the right will put $1 million into some new venture and give people the freedom to run things, the left will hand out $50,000 and demand accountability for every penny. We seem to think that there's something wrong with earning a buck while fighting for the cause, and that's just plain garbage. As I've said before, there's no dignity in poverty, and no amount of money is going to protect the wealthiest people on the left if the right should gain the kind of power they want. It's way past time they started to put up or be shut up, because if we go, they go too. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
A liberal light in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. Obviously, that wasn't tonight's Cup of Joe. We were suffering from a case of PEBCAC. Problem exists between keyboard and chair, and the chair in question is my chair. But, you know, these things are going to happen. I wish they wouldn't. But, you know, you ever seen a toddler learning to walk? They get boo-boos. We are going to have our boo-boos from time to time. But you know what? I still say we're ahead of the game. I don't know about you. No, just a couple of news stories. One that just, you know, really was like, it was like a little cold ice, a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code, you know. As I've mentioned, these freakish public relations firms that just infest the United States, and all they do, all day long, every day, is crank out right-wing talking points. Ad infinitum, a steady diet of that garbage. And this is one example of that. And it's a nice example, though, because it looks like the right wing is beginning to show some, a few tatters around the edges, if you will. I mentioned it earlier. Subject line, Dr. James Dobson supporting gay marriage? Interview opportunity. Dr. James Dobson now supports gay marriage. Is a name change in the works? Focus on the gay family? Dr. James Dobson, host of the most listened to fundamentalist Christian, well, let's not call it Christian, most listened to fundamentalist radio talk show in the world, has flip-flopped and now supports giving traditional marital benefits to same-sex couples, according to Dr. Paul Cameron, a widely published researcher and chairman of the Family Research Institute of Colorado Springs. Dr. Cameron is conducting talk show interviews challenging Dr. Dobson's denial that he supported giving homosexuals special rights previously reserved to married couples.
In reply to Dr. Cameron's charges, Focus on the Family issued a press release quoting Dr. Dobson as follows.
I've never endorsed any bill granting gay partners legal rights currently reserved for married couples.
And he called what Mr. Dr. Cameron, Dr. Dobson, Dr. Cameron, bug spray. Neither one of these dumb suckers could put a Band-Aid on without killing somebody. Dobson reiterating on his radio program saying that is sheer nonsense. While many, this is the fun part. While many Americans are focused on international and national news, Dr. Cameron contends that in Colorado Springs, the big news is that Focus on the Family has quietly shifted their focus from the traditional family to the gay family, where Dr. James Dobson is supporting Colorado state legislation that, if passed, would institute de facto gay marriage. The legislation Dr. Cameron is up in arms about is Colorado Senate Bill 166. Funny, I would have expected it to be Colorado Senate Bill 666. Cameron contends that Dr. Dobson's point person, Jim Pfaff, who represented Dr. Dobson when the Colorado Committee on Business, Labor, and Technology took up the amended bill and testified that, quote, we at Focus on the Family strongly endorse this bill. Outraged over this new focus on the gay family, Dr. Cameron stated, quote, no, see, this is where you find out what this is all about. I'm sorry to have bored you thus far, but I wanted you to have the background. This is two fundamentalist weirdos arguing over who gets to hate the queers more. You see. This is a workers' comp survivor's benefits bill. And I want you to listen. This guy's Dr. Cameron. He thinks he's a doctor of theology. Theology. The Greek root would be, he's a doctor of God words. That's pretty much witch doctor, isn't it? But anyway, Dr. Cameron says, survivor benefits under workman's compensation were designed to protect widowers and children in the event of a fatal accident. Dr. Dobson supports extending those rights to gay couples as well as to certain other cohabituating adults. Cohabituating homosexuals tend to be young. Widows and small children need such benefits, but why should the rest of us pay to support young gays for the rest of their lives? We'll just sort of take a moment here and try to collect ourselves before the big hissy starts. Because you got to understand that, number one, Dr. Cameron is a big old honking liar. Did you catch that? Did you catch the fact that Dr. Cameron's a big old honking liar? Because of what he said to you, why should the rest of us pay to support young gays for the rest of their lives? Dr. Cameron, USOB, workers' compensation is paid for by the employer, not by the taxpayers. Not in West Virginia, not in Ohio, not in Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, or even Colorado is workers' compensation paid for by the taxpayers. So what he's complaining about is apparently a bill that extends survivor benefits to same-sex couples. Now, whether James Dobson, you remember James Dobson, of course, the man who in one of, this guy holds a Ph.D., from the University of Southern California, I believe it is Southern Cal. This is a guy who has written a book in which he advises parents, and I quote, to beat children until they cry real tears. Okay? That's Dr. Dobson's world. I mean, this puts past his prologue. I mean, I'm just trying to set up the scene. And he spends his time, dear Jesus, please find me another homosexual to hate. Amen. You know, that's Dr. Dobson's world. And he get, I couldn't stand to listen to one of his sermons, dear. I'd feel like I needed to go and get deloused. But the fact of the matter is, Dr. Cameron is out there trying to lie to the American people. But this is part of the Republican agenda. Dr. Cameron is being a good, not a good Christian. He's not a Christian at all. He is being a good Republican because he's trying to tell people, and, you know, that there are a lot of people that aren't like us, that aren't like me and you and other people who listen to this show and probably think that workers' compensation is paid for by some sort of tax. But it's not. It's paid for by the employers. In most states of the union, it's a mandatory insurance program. Just like most states have mandatory auto insurance, you have to buy auto insurance in order to be able to get your license and drive on the road and all that stuff. Well, to do business in most states, you have to buy into workers' compensation. Okay? But this evil clown is trying to convince people that workers' compensation is a tax that supports homosexuals. I mean, we started out the program this evening talking about evil and mean people. Now, Dr. Cameron most clearly deserves to be on that list of really mean, hateful, nasty people, doesn't he? Of course he does. Anybody calling himself a man of God who is willing to tell outright lies. Outright lies about hurt people. There was a memorial here in wild, wonderful West Virginia over the weekend for the victims at Massey Energy's Alma Number One mine that claimed two lives. Robert Byrd showed up for it. Jay Rockefeller showed up for it. Joe Manchin, I believe, was there. Anybody who was there for this memorial. Let me see that paper for a minute there, dear. Thank you. Let's see. What were some of the things said? Governor Joe Manchin said the similarities were surreal, from the way families gathered a local church to the lack of oxygen and communication systems for the missing miners. I thought it couldn't be happening again, Manchin said. It was like a bad dream. He promised Sunday that proposed safety regulations will be enacted soon to make mines safer. These men did not die in vain, he said. Their deaths, like their lives, have purpose. They will be remembered by millions forever. You see, those men's widows are, at least in theory, receiving workers' compensation. Of course, workers' compensation moved recently here in West Virginia to cut off widows' survivor benefits at age 65. Yeah, I know. But those are workers' compensation benefits that are available to a working human being's survivor should they die in some horrible industrial accident or die in the course and scope of their work, because it's the right thing to do, you see. But people like Dr. Cameron, this isn't a religious issue. This is a Republican issue. This is about lying to the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, fundamentalist literalists who, you know, who believe things like, you know, the sky stood still in the sky. And, you know, they'll believe anything. They'll believe that widows and orphans' benefits in workers' compensation are somehow part of a tax scheme. And that, you know, you good Christians, you're paying for survivor homosexuals who are usually young. Homosexuals are young because they don't live to get old because, you know, they got the AIDS and everything. Oh, my God. Well, let's go to the phones. Our good friend Peter is with us from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm all right. You?
Great show. I just have to call you and give you some Paul Cameron dirt.
Oh, do please.
You know, that guy was kicked out of the American Psychological Association in 1983 for misrepresenting the work of other people and for using unsound methodology in various studies.
Oh, is this the... Oh, what's his claim to fame? Help me, Peter. This is ringing a bell for me now.
Well, he wrote a book called The Life fan of homosexuals.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't have anything to do with Skotchgard. Now, he claims that most homosexuals are going to die by the age of 43. And this is because they all got AIDS. So it's a little bit ironic that he's talking about supporting them for the rest of their lives because he says they're all going to die at 43. But here's where that all falls apart.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, even if only half of the gay population stays HIV negative,
mm-hmm.
and they live to an age of, say, average age of 75 years old, in order to come up with an average lifespan of 43, that would require that gay men with AIDS die at the age of 11.
Well, but wouldn't it also mean that the gay men with AIDS also die at the age of 86?
Well, I guess a few, but if the ones without AIDS make it to 75, and the ones with,
oh, I got, yeah, okay,
to average at 43, you've got to say they die at 11.
Oh, geez. Oh my God!
Yeah, he's.
I knew I recognized this clown's name, Peter.
Say again?
I knew I recognized this clown's name.
Yeah, Paul Cameron's his name, and he's certainly one of the tambourine players for the who hates the homosexuals more. And I just thought I'd run that by you. He's a discredited psychologist who's been kicked out of the association, and it quotes.
That makes sense now, Peter, because about Dr. Paul Cameron. Dr. Paul Cameron is a researcher, clinician, and a reviewer for the prestigious Canadian Medical Association Journal.
And whatever. So what is reviewer status? You send them $20 a year, and you get to be a reviewer.
Yeah, I think you get the decoder ring and an extra couple of boxes of Quisp and Quake.
Uh-huh. We're talking mailing list here.
Yeah.
These people are so lame. It really just defies.
You'll also receive your certificate suitable for framing.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Folding into paper airplanes.
Yeah. Yeah. There was also a case. In a Baker versus Wade in 85, the testimony was that homosexuals were more likely to abuse children than heterosexuals, and that was concluded that Cameron, the judge, that statement was used in some trial, and it was concluded that Cameron, quote, has himself made misrepresentations to this court that there has been fraud and misrepresentation. Blah 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 blah. So in any case, he's even been kicked out of court.
Yeah, and that seems so easy to sort of get your mind around. Gay men don't abuse children. Pedophiles abuse children.
Well, you know, and that's curious. The other night I was talking. I think I was on the Fourth Estate radio program talking about the new town that they're building in South Florida.
Oh, I know. Ave Maria, Florida.
Yeah, the brand new university. And they were saying that homosexuals were allowed on campus, which is just so damn curious. Why would a homosexual go to...
Well, somebody's got to wait tables in the student union.
Well, I guess so, but, you know, you're not supposed to be priests anymore.
Peter, they're going to have a theater department there at Ave Maria University, and they can't have a theater department without allowing gay people on.
I have always loved nuns and drag. Don't you love drag nuns? They're just fabulous.
They're beautiful.
Oh, I got a dirty joke that I cannot tell on the air.
Oh, please tell me. Oh, Lord, I didn't have much, but you just tripped my trigger wire.
I kept reading. I'm so glad you did, because I especially remembered the business about, you helped me remember, that the business about, homosexual pedophilia. Well, you know, maybe that explains the 11-year-old AIDS victims.
I guess so. There's volumes of research that discredit all of that, and all of us know that. In fact, that well over 90% of the child molestation cases on police records are adult men against little girls, which pretty much stands to reason. If you estimate the gay population at 10%, you would estimate that about 90% would be heterosexual abusers, and the other 10%, it seems to pretty much match the population expectation.
Well, sure. But beyond that, I mean, this guy's out. This guy's a psychologist, and nothing about the priesthood.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I know the whole story about Ave Maria University, Peter. You know, they're not going to sell condoms. They're not going to sell birth control pills. They're not going to have porn on their TVs, and they're not going to sell dirty magazines in the bookstore.
And that's right. And there's no doubt going to be one of them.
What are the priests going to do? Sit around and twiddle their thumbs?
There's going to be one of them Chinese Cisco routers there, too, blocking your website.
Oh, my God.
Ain't going to be no Kincaid down there to work anybody.
No, ain't going to be nobody listening to the head on down. Ain't nobody going to be on the horn down ain't, there at Ave Maria.
Ain't nobody going to hear none of Agnes's devil music.
You know, but something seriously out of all of this, the guy who is behind this, what's his name, Tom Monahan?
Oh, yeah, the Domino's
Pizza. He's the guy. Domino's Pizza.
He's got some pineapple and... Never mind.
No, it'll be a cold day in hell before I'll ever eat another Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
I don't do right-wing food.
I feel the same way. Yeah, it was a staple food for a while, but I don't fool with
But,
Domino's
you know, and Monahan is a right-winger, and the clown from Papa John's Pizza, he's a right-wing freak,
oh,
too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, there's a pizza joint over in Beckley, not too awfully far from here. You know, they still use one of those ovens. They don't use the little Domino's Papa John's conveyor belt nightmare. They use a real pizza oven. There's some guys of apparently Middle Eastern or Indian subcontinent descent who run that thing. They make the best pizza in Beckley, period.
Oh, yay.
And so that's where we get our pizza.
Yeah, the little mom-and-pop pizza places beat them all hands down. But, you know, despite this stuff about Cameron, despite his known, the fact that he's known to not at all be credible, his work is constantly cited by the right-wing politicians and by evangelicals to support anti-gay positions.
Well, I remember some story of some right-wing freak in Congress, I know, redundancy, talking about Cameron's work. And, you know, one of these real weirdos, like maybe, what's his name, Sam Brownback, that freak from Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe him or maybe Cornyn or one of the... No. It's coming back to me. I don't have it all yet. It was Santorum.
Oh, really? Boy, what a little tiny nest they all live in.
It's a tiny... It's a little log closet.
Yeah, we need that sort of that bug spray. We need some bug spray bad. You know, we could just put the bug spray in those little automatic puffers that go off in the restrooms, you know, that spray the air.
Homophobes walk in and they don't walk out.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that's a great note to end on.
Thanks, Peter.
Take care, guys.
Have a great night.
You too.
Bye now. Oh, dear. You know, it's so nice. I can always count on Peter to lighten the mood. Ave Maria University. I can just see the priests sitting around on the park benches. And what the hell are we supposed to do? There's no little kids. There's no porn. So we'll go away, but then we'll come back for the final hour. Your phone calls are always, always, always welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. You know me. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm gonna tell you a story that you won't believe. But I fell in love last Friday evening with the girl I saw on a ballroom TV screen. But I was just getting ready to get my hat when she caught my eye.
Gets the news she has breast cancer. I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words. Hi, I'm Linda Ellerby. Did you know that every 3 minutes another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out.
Head on Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch. Women in South Dakota may no longer make their own medical decisions. Governor Mike Rounds signed a bill today that takes away a woman's right to privacy. All forms of abortion are now illegal in South Dakota. An appeal of South Dakota's assault on women will be filed almost immediately. Officials with Bell South and AT&T are hailing their merger for its cost savings for the company. AT&T announced Sunday it will buy Bell South for $60 billion in stock. The monopoly in the making will have customers from Georgia to California, as well as a nationwide wireless telephone network. 10,000 Americans will lose their jobs because of the merger. Federal prosecutors, desperate to punish at least one person for the attacks on September 11, 2001, delivered opening statements today in the punishment phase of the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. Federal prosecutor Robert Spencer turned an anti-Bush slogan on its ear in his remarks, saying that Moussaoui lied and 3,000 people died. Spencer claimed that by maintaining his innocence after his arrest, Moussaoui caused 9/11. The right against self-incrimination is enshrined in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. Pat Tillman's father has no faith in the Army's ability to get justice for his slain son. Pat Tillman Sr. said Monday that he is pessimistic the Army investigation will shed any new light on his son's death. Pat Tillman Jr., a star football player for the Arizona Cardinals who gave up a multi-million-dollar contract to join the Army, was killed by so-called friendly fire in April of 2004. The Army announced an investigation into negligent homicide a few days ago. Chief Justice John Roberts released his first Supreme Court opinion today. The nation's highest court issued a unanimous ruling stating that American colleges and universities must let military recruiters prey on their students or lose federal funds. The justices ruled that the military's free speech rights outweighed the free speech rights of the law schools who challenged the law. George Bush wants more congressional power. The White House introduced legislation today that would give the line item veto to Bush. The Supreme Court declared the line item veto unconstitutional when it was passed for President Clinton. Bush says he wants it anyway so he can cut congressional spending. An Iraqi army general was killed Monday near Baghdad. General Mubdar Hadir was shot dead in western Baghdad. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace says there is no civil war in Iraq. Pace, whose credibility was questioned by Congressman John Murtha on Sunday, said all the violence in Iraq was being caused by a, quote, relatively small number of individuals, unquote. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, he said there has been progress in training the Iraqi army. However, there are no Iraqi units capable of operating on their own. Pace said, quote, it is not a great smiley picture, unquote.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
9 people were killed and 53 were wounded Monday in car bomb attacks in Baghdad. An American soldier was killed Monday in Iraq's bloody Al-Anbar province. With characteristic reticence, the Pentagon would only say that the American soldier died, quote, as a result of enemy action, unquote. Israeli aircraft flew over Gaza City Monday, launching attacks that killed 5 people. 3 of those killed by the Israelis were children, Palestinian boys aged 9, 15, and 16. Sources said they were innocent bystanders. Viewers of Sunday night's Oscars were surprised as Crash, an ensemble film about racial tension in Los Angeles, took Best Picture honors. Most insiders expected Brokeback Mountain to take the top prize. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, welcome back. Almost 6 minutes after the hour. About 50, call it 50 minutes and change to get your last licks in on this Monday night. Be out from under the bonnet, burr out from under the saddle. You know the drill. Now, a couple of things that were mentioned in our good friend and most excellent newscaster Bruce Birch's top of the hour cast. It is true. Dear Leader is in search of the line item veto. This was an absolute dream of the right wing all through the Reagan presidency. Just about every time he got to stand up, Reagan said, well, ketchup is a vegetable, and I need a line item veto. Mommy, could I have a line item veto for Christmas? I've just declared the Soviet Union illegal. The missiles begin flying in 5 minutes. I need a line item veto. And, of course, you know what the line item veto is. The line item veto is this this notion that, you know, Congress is constitutionally empowered with the purse strings. It is Congress's job. The House of Representatives has the, more particularly, has the purse strings. And they are to start the budgetary process. Congress got the purse, the House got the purse strings, the Senate got the advice and consent thing. But it appears that nobody in Congress wants to do their damn job anymore. Dear Leader wants the line item veto because I need to cut spending in it because we've got a terrible deficit. You know, that you just can't get a Republican to confess that they made the deficit. No, we wouldn't want to do that now, would we? Of course not. So, he says that he's got it all fixed now, so as it'll be constitutional. Because, see, they didn't give it to Reagan, and they didn't give it to George Herbert Bush. But then they gave it to Bill Clinton, and it was immediately appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, "Nah, this is unconstitutional, for God's sakes." You bunch of lily-livered weasels in the Congress, don't you? You just want us to send you the check and you stay home? Don't you want to do your job? It's Congress's job to come up with the budget. To do, you know, all that budget stuff. And so they declared the line item veto unconstitutional and took it away from Bill Clinton. And all, you know, in between sessions of shooting watermelons out in his backyard, Dan Burton went, yeah, that's a good thing, taking it away from Bill Clinton. But Dear Leader announced today that he, by God, wants the line item veto. And give me the authority to strip special interest spending and earmarks out of a bill and then send them back to Congress for an up or down vote. There's that up or down vote again. You know what the special interest spending and earmarks are, don't you? He's not talking about Ted Stevens's $65 million bridge to nowhere. No, hell no. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Medicare. He's talking about Medicaid. He's talking about Social Security. He's talking about that little pissant $10 million program that checks to see whether babies are deaf or not in this country. That's the special interests and earmarks that I need to take out of the spending bill. That's what he's after. I mean, and the whole concept of giving George Bush is you know, the line item veto, it's just preposterous. It is simply mad. Letting this guy take a crayon to a 400, 500, 2,000-page federal budget? Yeah, I don't like that one. Yeah, let's see. There's some oldsters in West Virginia getting lunch on the federal dole every day. Somebody taking it to them. And, yeah, that's a special interest. That's out of there. That's what we're talking about here. Like I said, it's preposterous. It's as crazy as some semi-literate cowboy wanting power to spy on everybody. Oh, wait a minute. It's as crazy as saying that aluminum tubes were going... Wait a minute. It's as crazy as saying that... Oh, my God, that's going to happen. Yeah, guess what? It's going to happen. Why do I say it's going to happen? Let me tell you why it's going to happen. Our good friend Gene in Oregon forwarded this along. Thanks, Gene. In a statement issued earlier today, I'm quoting here, and it makes my head hurt to quote, okay? This makes my head, I mean, little tears coming out. In a statement issued earlier today, Senator John Kerry, Democrat, Massachusetts, oh, this ain't going to be good. Senator John Kerry, D-MA, announced not only his support of President Bush's request for a line item veto power, but also plans to introduce legislation giving President Bush just such power. What the hell happened to reporting for duty, sir? I guess, you know, the centrist Democrats are in favor of the... Kerry's plan would have a catch, though. The president's veto would then head to Congress for an up or down vote. Oh, that's some catch, that catch 22. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I trust our buddy Gene out in Oregon implicitly. He's never sent me a bad story yet. So I know this is real. I know if I wander over to johncarry.com, I'm gonna see a story. Oh, tell me I'm not, but I am. Now this comes from, it's a link to Raw Story. Gene writes, please, Mr. Kerry, become a Republican. Please, Mr. Kerry, stop enabling the Republicans. Please, Mr. Kerry, I don't want to go. Kerry's plan would have a catch, though. The president's veto would then head to Congress for an up or down vote. Wait a minute. Let's see. Now, this is from the Reuters story. Headline, Bush seeking line item veto power. It'd give me an opportunity to strip special interest spending and earmarks out of a bill and then send them back to Congress for an up or down vote. Where's the catch, John? Don't look like you... John Kerry wants to turn Dear Leader loose with a crayon. Now, we got kids here, and they were littler than they are now once upon a time, and I very happily brought them home one of my favorite children's books. I brought several of them home at the same time. I brought home Go Dog Go, and Where the Wild Things Are, and The Giving Tree. But I also brought home Harold and the Purple Crayon, which is a charming little book. George and the Brown Crayon is a freaking nightmare. It's a Stephen King book.
Y'all know what the Brown Crayon means.
Yeah, oh my God. John Kerry, why? Somebody explain to me. You know, I mean, I guess we who participate in this program, I and Agnes on this end, and you guys on yours who send me news stories in the email and call on the phones and I guess we're all just like that radical ultra left, aren't we? Because I'm told that there's this. Well, I mean, I've seen it happen a couple of times on Democratic Underground. I've posted something about John Kerry, you know, that was not, it wasn't just John, you know, John Kerry, best friend of Jesus, and, you know, this crap storm ensues. from these BLC moderate centrist Democrats. We will never overtake the radical left. You know, they were more than happy to have the votes of the radical left during the last presidential election. They, you know, almost paid attention to us because, you know, we're the radical left. I just as soon as I figure out what it is that the radical left is, because I'm in it, I'll let you know. Or look, you can feel free to let me know what it is. I mean, I want a fair tax system that taxes those with the ability to pay more than those without the ability to pay. That craziness, commie. I want a health care system that lets the people go to the doctor when they're sick. I want an economy where at the very most, one husband and one wife working one job each can support their family. And I'm part of the radical left. Who the hell are these people who think, John Kerry needs to be nominated again in 2000? Who the hell are these people, and why do they call themselves Democrats? Do they, you know, to echo Bartkop a little bit, do they just want to lose again? I don't want to watch John Kerry go windsurfing anymore. I mean, I understand. I was proud of him for his stand on Samuel Alito. We kind of had to shame him into it, but I was proud of that. But this one, oh, God. Is somebody inclined to try to tell me that John Kerry is being liberal by giving the line item veto to George Bush? I mean, isn't that a little bit like letting a baby play with a razor? I'm running with scissors. I'm running with scissors. Look at me. I'm running with scissors. Here, little George, here's the scissors. Run along and play now. Oh, Jesus. I don't understand this. Whew, where do I live? Liberals want to give John Kerry, liberals want to give George Bush because John Kerry's a liberal. I mean, George Bush wouldn't tell you he was a liberal. The Republican National Committee wouldn't tell you he was the most liberal member of the United States Senate. If it wasn't so, now, would they? Gosh, would the Republican National Committee tell us a lie? Would the Republican National Committee tell the Joe and Jane six-pack that John Kerry was the most liberal member of the United States Senate if he wasn't just an absolute flaming go-to-the-meetings-on-Thursday-night commie? They wouldn't do something like that. Now, yes, they would. John Kerry's about as liberal as Joe Lieberman. He's... I want an explanation for this. Not that I'm entitled to one. I'm just some little yammering talk show dude out in West Virginia who wants to know why it is that John Kerry's selling my the Constitution, for God's sakes, the Constitution. Why is John Kerry selling out the Constitution to George Bush? It just beats the hell out of me. It wears me the hell out. This is liberalism? Giving George Bush... But we'll talk really mean about him after he cuts things out of the budget that we don't like, right? Oh boy, we're some fighting Democrats, aren't we? Ah, we're Democrats that are not to be trifled with, aren't we, Mr. Senator Kerry? Ho-ho! Stop, or I'll yell stop again! Wayne is on line one. Let's go to the phones. Can you help me sort through this a little bit there, Wayne? It works with the knob up better, dear.
I mean, you know, what can I say? We have to get somebody else. I mean, John Kerry is, well, you know, everybody was all excited. Everybody worked real hard, and then he gave up.
Went windsurfing.
Yeah, exactly. Please. What terrible images.
Oh, I know. Well, not quite as bad as the little NASA Sammy sperm suit that he put on.
Yeah, and I mean, that bathing suit. I never saw one that came to the knees. when they, I mean, you should have had them. Remember them old ones, the stripes? You kind of look like...
Yeah, that started at the chin?
The two-piece things.
Yeah.
A million years ago. Well, came from... on a, you know, a better note, it just came from a union meeting.
Good.
That's always good, you know. It's...
Well, are the brothers and sisters in a fighting mood?
Oh, yeah. You know, well, they're fighting for jobs right now, but we're starting, you know, on... West Virginia is going against the national trend, I would like you to know, that we are actually gaining union membership in the state.
Well, that kind of makes sense, though. I mean, didn't we, the last time we were working, people were desperately in need of the ability to stand up on their own hind legs. Didn't we kind of lead the way on that then, too?
Yes, we did. They were called the wars. The Cold War.
The mine wars.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And it's, and well, and you know, that's what these people are doing. I mean, you know, the economy and the bureaucracy and the government that they're creating is much like the government we had when all of this started in the late 18th century.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going there again. I mean, there's a lot of work coming up in West Virginia. We have a lot of work. And, I mean, you know, union construction workers have a lot of work, and we're getting more and more. And the more work we get, the more members we could get. You know, I was an organizer for years, and it's one thing when you try to organize people, you know, you ought to consider joining the union, and we'll help you out, and we'll try to turn this job around. You'll probably lose your job, but that's okay. Maybe we'll get you your money back in a year or something. You know, that's not real attractive. When you approach somebody and tell them that I could put you to work tomorrow morning on a union job, now you're talking.
Yeah.
And you know, people will, well, now you have their attention.
Yeah, and that's going to come with that good stuff like pensions and medical care.
And health care.
Yeah.
Union people actually have health care.
Well, you say you were in a union meeting this evening. You probably missed out on the front end of the show, something that our friend from Coal River, Big Coal River, our buddy Sue, saw on CNN this evening on Lou Dobbs. A guy named John Fund from the Wall Street Journal was there, and I thought of you when I was talking about this, Wayne. John Fund said on the air, he told Lou Dobbs that it was necessary to sell our ports to the United Arab Emirates because our longshore workers were all mobbed up.
Were all mobbed up?
Yeah. Been taken over by the mafia, you know, the Cosa Nostra, the Black Hand, whatever.
Has he looked at this current administration?
Well, I know. It just, you know, these people make me crazy. I mean, from, I just...
You know why Bush, wants the... line item veto, what's that make him? The godfather.
Well, no, what the hell does he want with any kind of a veto? He won't use it.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, I just got an email from our buddy Benedict, and he says, damn, Bob, I don't disagree with you much, but Kerry's just planning for the future and taking back at least one House of Congress, and face it, if we don't take one at least, it doesn't matter a bit whether or not Shrub has a line item veto. It just doesn't matter at all.
So who is this guy? He's from the Wall Street Journal?
No. This is a listener. No, the other guy, the guy that said the unions were all mobbed up.
Oh, the Dobbs guy.
Yeah, that was John Fund from the Wall Street Journal, yeah.
What's his position there?
No, he's on the editorial staff.
You think he has health insurance?
I'm guessing he does.
You think he has a pension plan?
Yeah, he does, and he's well paid enough to hire lawyers when he gets busted for beating on women. I mean, you know.
Oh, does he do that, too?
Yeah, he's into that.
Oh, good. Maybe you ought to go talk to Reverend Dobson. As long as he ain't one of them homosexuals or however you say that.
Homosexuals.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. So the longshoremen are the whole problem with our ports.
Yeah, that's why the UAE has to run them.
So the solution to that is to turn our ports over to a company or to a country that supported terrorist regime.
Well, you know, companies whose leaders go hunting, camping, fishing, sit around, scratch themselves
with Osama bin Laden.
With Osama bin Laden, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, that,
that's reassuring.
Osama's probably been hunting, fishing with Osama, too. He certainly was with his brother.
Well, you know, I guess I'm just an American snob. I'd, you know, if I got to let a crook run America's ports, I'd really rather have it be an American crook.
Yeah, I don't have any objection.
I mean, Tony Soprano seems to do pretty good by the garbage business.
Exactly. Now, I don't know, but anyway, well, I wanted to point that out, that we are, in fact, gaining in union membership, and I think that we're going to continue to do
well,
that.
Well, do you think, Wayne, that there's something out there that other states can learn from what's going on here?
We're trying desperately to, get them to look at this. And, you know, West Virginia's been getting a lot of attention lately.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing is with unfortunate how it happens with the mining accidents and stuff, but that's something that that goes on in every workplace. I mean, that's a concern. You know, we just had a local contractor was fined $28,000 by OSHA down in Lewisburg for OSHA violations, which brings up the, you know, at any given point in this country, construction workers make up about 5% of the workforce.
Right.
And that has been true for, I'd say the last 100 years easily.
And that's construction workers overall, not just union construction.
Not just union, construction workers, period.
Yeah.
You know, and, whether you belong in our union or not, we represent you. Now, you don't want us to admit that, but when you go on a prevailing wage job or you get working conditions that are better than what you have, that's because of the people that are willing to stand up and join the union.
Right.
You know, you benefit too. You just don't participate or pay dues or help to support it. You know.
Just kind of along for the ride.
Exactly. But along that, you know, construction workers make up at any given time in this country 5% of the workforce, and they are responsible for 20% of the fatalities in the workplace every year. So it's a very dangerous occupation.
Well, didn't we see probably an example of that just this weekend up in Moundsville?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And then Moundsville is real close to one of the worst construction accidents that ever happened in this country. Point Pleasant, at the power station up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember? I can't remember. It's like 57 workers died. You know.
Yeah.
Real quick when the scaffolding peeled off a cooling tower wall.
Yeah, the thing in Moundsville, I can't imagine how terrifying that would be. I hate to sound elitist or anything, Wayne, but there's not enough money out there to get me to go up a 1,000-foot smokestack.
Well, that's why we demand good money for what we do.
Right.
You know, and rightfully so.
But there's some real horror stories coming out of it. I don't know if you caught the thing in the paper today. One of the guys that was involved in this thing.
Somebody fell in the stack, am I right?
Yeah, fell in the stack. But the thing is, they had complained to the bosses and said, you know, we don't want to go up there. That thing ain't safe. No kidding.
Well, I'm going to have to, you know, I heard something about it, but I've been involved in so many things today I couldn't really follow up on it.
Yeah, I thought I had printed it. Maybe I didn't. But one of the workers had complained and said,
what,
I don't.
What was the facility?
American Electric Power. The big old, I mean, you can see it from a mile away. Big old power plant, humongous smokestack, 1,000 feet high. And these guys were at the top. Wind was blowing, stuff was swaying around. The thing that they were on was only, I don't remember the particulars. The thing that was on, they were on was only held in place by its clutch. It didn't, the brakes were gone. And they'd complained about it, and they were told, you know, you get up on that thing or you go home. You ain't got no job.
Well, I'm going to
look into it, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have to look at it. I hope I won the union job. I can't, you know, I.
No.
union guys could get pretty stubborn.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, I mean, if they feel like they're in danger, they'll just flat won't do it.
Well, right.
And but I'm going to check on that.
Well, have a look at it. I mean, I don't have a photographic memory, but pretty doggone close, and I'm pretty sure that that was in there.
Well, I'll have to find what. Where was that story in?
I ran across it on CNN.com. I was thinking about something else in the Charleston paper.
Well, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it was a horrifying situation.
You know, I don't know. Hopefully somewhere the Democrats are going to, we're in a real internal battle, and that comes from the leadership and people like John Kerry. And, you know, I read something this weekend where Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are mad at Howard Dean because he's trying to set up organizations in all 50 states.
And what? Let me guess. They think it's not worth the money to go into Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, et cetera?
That's exactly what they're saying. You ought to be concentrating on my race, I guess.
Oh,
you know?
God.
I think John Dean has the right idea. I think John Dean is Howard Dean. Governor Dean is planning for the future, and that's what we have to do. You know, and he announced that when he ran for chairman of the party.
Yeah.
You know, that was his plan. And we have given up on so many states because I think that's the wrong attitude. You know, a lot of these red states aren't that red.
No, they're not.
You know, a little change could make a monumental change in an election where you count electoral votes.
Yeah, well, that does kind of go, yeah, you got to do that.
You know, I mean, how would we miss the last one if West Virginia went that way?
That was Florida, yeah.
Was that the, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did manage to get more this time, didn't he? But it's, you know, I think it's a good strategy, and I think that's just, you know, you got to plan. You can't just plan for one election. You got to move like you're going to, regain power and keep it for a while. It's only the right thing to do.
Yeah, it is, and that's what I don't get about John Kerry. I mean, our buddy Benedict says it's all about trying to take back at least one house of the Congress. I don't see where giving George Bush more power and ceding more power to him helps us.
You know, we're not, and I don't understand that either. In fact, you know, I mean, he gave up after the last election. I wish he'd just, you know, try to help when you can, but, you know, maybe be better if you didn't do so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's an extreme disappointment. I don't know what else to say. So.
Well, I mean, I need some consistency out of these guys, Wayne. I'm not necessarily looking for them to be nonstop heroes, but I would like, I need people to stand up and oppose George Bush at every turn.
Well, our leadership has missed the boat how many times here? You know, I mean, they could make statements.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, they should have got, you know, they shouldn't even have went to the State of the Union address. You know, or they should have went and got up and walked out.
Or at least left with Cindy Sheehan, for God's sakes.
Yeah, well, there you go. That would have been a nice move. That would have shown some unity and, you know, and
emboldenment?
Yeah, that old Serbian word. but we're going to get there. You know, like when you look at the numbers, I mean, what do we need to take the Senate? 6 seats?
Well, it's basically 55 to 45 if you count Jeffords.
6 seats.
Yeah.
If and the House, we're talking what, 16, 18 maybe?
Yeah. It's not that big, but then again, you're dealing with the black box. I'm not trying to get all bummed out or anything, but you're dealing with electronic voting and all that other happy crap. And it's relatively close. It's very much doable. John Murtha said yesterday on Face the Nation on CBS that he said he expected 2006 to be another 1994 with a complete throwout.
Yes, and I think, you know, there's a possibility that it could completely freak out everybody. I mean, people are upset. You know, this, I mean, the whole Katrina deal, I mean, how many people down there that are going to get to vote do you think are going to vote for Republicans? you know, this, the port deal is one of the best things that's ever happened to us because...
Oh, no. Did you miss that, Wayne?
What's that?
Democratic strategists have said it's a bad thing for Democrats to oppose the port deal.
Yeah, but that's the people from the Leadership Council, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're not going to pay any attention to them. You know, they've been, I mean, you know, what's your record? How many presidential elections have you won here lately? You know, why should we listen to you? The port deal is good because... That is something that
well, it points
ordinary,
up George...
hardworking American people can relate to because, you know, everybody, you listen to these talk show things and all that, and everybody wants to pretend like they knew all along that our ports were being managed from by foreign companies. And that's not the truth.
No.
I would venture to say that 95% of the people in this country never realized that. And now they do. And now, and they know that's wrong. Why should anybody control our ports but us? You know.
Yeah, I don't have any trouble getting my mind around that one, Wayne.
Not at all. I mean, you know, especially you know, in you know, we're at war, Bob.
Well,
did you realize that?
Yeah, well, it is. It's a war on terror. It could.
No, it's the long war.
Yeah.
Before Bush changed the name.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's the long war.
It's not so much nice, you know.
Yeah, it's going to take generations.
Well,
Rummy said it could take decades.
Then you could have war against anybody.
And they, you know,
terrorists,
they had
your own people, you know, the long war.
Yeah, and anybody who hates home mortgages.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh God.
But you know.
No, you're right. The American people can get their heads around this, and again. The way that we frame this thing so that everybody understands, this isn't about Arabs, this isn't about Jews, this isn't about Serbs, Croats, sorry, not picking on you, Irish, Scottish, French, German, this is about Americans.
That's what it's about.
And, you're not protecting Arab Americans or Scottish Americans or Black Americans or any other kind of American. You're not protecting them by letting another country, any other country, run the daggum ports.
No, you're not. And, you know, that, you know, hopefully, well.
But the Republicans are caving.
Caving?
Yeah.
How so?
Republican Peter King, the guy who got his airplane taken away from him over the weekend, he and several congressmen were going to fly over to Iraq on a fact-finding tour.
That's a New York guy, right?
Yeah. And once he came out and said, well, you know, I can't support the ports deal, the Pentagon lost his airplane.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So he came out today and he said, well, you know, I've got an idea. We'll let Dubai run the ports, but we'll make them set up a subsidiary company in the United States to do it. No.
That's not acceptable to
no.
me.
No, that immediately created, my mind flashed on an American subsidiary charitable organization called the World Association of Muslim Youth, WAMI, that had money funneled to it by, you know, people like the princesses of Saudi Arabia and so forth, and they funneled money in turn to the Tursts.
When did you, have you researched, like, when did...
Ronald Reagan.
Is when... Foreign companies started controlling our ports?
Yeah.
Or managing our ports?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan.
Let me see. He wasn't a Democrat, was he?
Ah, no. No. He was a guy who thought ketchup was a vegetable.
Well, I don't know, buddy. I think that, you know.
Well, we got one we can hang on to if we can just teach Democrats to hang on to it. But you know, this issue.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, I get stories about John Kerry wanting to give George the line item veto, and I'm thinking, this doesn't look so good for holding, you know, for holding fast against the Dubai ports deal.
No, but I mean, don't you have to wonder? Don't you think that John Kerry is losing support more and more?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I get, you know, I don't.
I mean, I know he's all over the internet. And, you know.
Yeah, I hardly ever read it anymore. I get something from John Kerry supports fighting Dems, and it click trash.
Fighting,
you know,
Dems. That's an oxymoron.
Well, it's these veterans who are going to run for Congress.
Oh,
and, you know, he's getting
behind
them and blah, 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 blah. Let me introduce you to Tammy Duckworth.
Well, he should maybe consider retiring from the Senate and just raise money for candidates. He's very good at raising money.
He is very good at raising
money.
But I've gotten to where I spend about as much time reading John Kerry's emails as I do Robert Byrd's emails.
I just delete them. I don't even, you know. Well, I mean, you had your chance and you blew it. So now I'm all done with you. I'm looking for, the guy that has conviction and has a chance, the leadership council and people like Kerry make sure that he didn't get the nomination, and that was Howard Dean.
Yeah.
You know, Kucinich would have been great.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you're not in the clique, man.
Gephardt. Remember Gephardt?
Yeah, I do.
I saw an article the other day where Gephardt was present for the signing ceremony or whatever for this huge new amalgamated, conglomerated union of steel workers and timber workers and yada, 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 and that, you know, they're a real force to be reckoned with, and by God, I hope they are, and God bless Dick Gephardt for getting out there and standing with them. But again, you know, another...
Dick Gephardt has always been a very strong union supporter.
Yes, he has been. But,
always.
But not so much when it came to standing up against a bunch of thugs.
Well...
And by thugs, I mean Republicans.
Yeah, well, that, you know... Hopefully it's going to change.
I hope you're right.
You have to... Well, like I told you, I got to be optimistic. I can't.
Oh, I know.
Can't operate any other way.
I'm not trying to be a bummer about all this. I wish there was some way to get people to tell these politicians, you know, that we'll be happy to support you. Just make it worth our while. You know, we're not some corporation. We don't want a check. We just want to see you stand up and fight and do the right thing.
Well, you know, exactly, and what they have to, you know, the biggest responsibility of government, any government, I don't care what you call it, is the welfare of the people they govern. Now, and, you know, if we need our politicians to adopt that and act on it, you know, and it's not the corporations, and nobody's, you know, I mean, I get accused, you don't want anybody to, you don't want corporations to make profit. Well, that's idiotic. I mean, if the guy I'm working for isn't making money, I'm not going to have a job for very long.
Yeah, it's the question between profit and profit at the expense, you know, obscene profits at the expense of ordinary people getting a decent wage. And that's a huge dichotomy. That's a big difference, Wayne.
But didn't we have a tax structure at one time? Once you got over a certain amount of money, I don't know, you paid 80% or something.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. I think we ought to go back to that.
I like the idea.
Bill Gates doesn't need all that money.
Well, you know, I mean, he can't eat it, and he can't take it with him.
No, he thinks he can.
Hasn't done everything that Bill Gates knows. He still doesn't know that they don't hook U-Hauls behind hearses.
No, they don't.
Hey, Wayne, you have yourself a great evening, man.
And same to you, pal.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Later. We mentioned the Wall Street Journal a little bit ago. Excellent little graphic. Now, I imagine you can still find this at truthout.org. Impeachment proves risky political issue. Now, this is another one of those cases where, we can't oppose George on the Dubai ports. He might say ugly things about us. Okay, that's the centrist Democrats. A bunch of sissies. No, that's rough on the sissies. You get my point. Well, here's another one. Reading straight from the article. If Democratic candidate Tony Trupiano wins a Michigan House seat this fall, we like Tony. Tony's a buddy. He pledges that one of his first acts will be to introduce articles of impeachment against President Bush. That has earned Mr. Trupiano the endorsement of Impeach PAC, a group of Democratic activists seeking to remove Mr. Bush from office. Impeach PAC's website lists 14 candidates offering similar commitments, which are reminiscent of the Republican drive to oust former President Bill Clinton after the Lamont. No, they're not reminiscent of that effort. The Republican effort was simply hate and avarice driven, and jealousy too, because I think these doughy, pasty faced Republican white men were really jealous that Bill was, you know.
They got caught too.
So it's not the same thing as the Lewinsky scandal. But, you know, this is the Wall Street Journal, and this is what they have to tell their little readers. You know, the Wall Street Journal, that's not just some rag. They speak to the Republicans who really understand. The ones who love America, not. This is the fun part. But Mr. Trupiano's pledge hasn't much impressed Democratic Party leaders, who are keeping their distance from impeachment talk. They remember how the effort boomeranged on Republicans in the 1998 midterm elections, when Mr. Clinton's adversaries expected to gain House seats but lost ground instead. Huh? We took over the Congress in 1998? Phew. Must have been during the forgotten years. Quote, if you are looking for a message to take back the House and the Senate or the White House, there are better ways to go about it, says Democratic communications ace Joe Lockhart, a media aide to Mr. Clinton during the Republican impeachment effort.
One that was hired by the Republicans.
Joe Lockhart. That puts mainstream Democrats on this issue at least, echoing the Republican National Committee. Quote, voters elect candidates because they understand the issues rather than engage in left-wing fantasies. There it is again! Impeaching a... Get this. And understand, they're talking about, you know, Joe Lockhart in agreement with the Republican Party. They can't impeach George Bush because that's left-wing fantasy. Trust me. Now, we've all got a... Psychologists say we've all got a fantasy life. Mine doesn't involve impeaching anyone. Elves. For me, it's elves.
Oh, God, that's Joel. You are a sick puppy.
The Keebler elves.
That's even worse.
The girl one.
Huh?
Yeah, the girl Keebler elf. No. I'm thinking... Well, never mind. I'm kidding. Of course. you say a word, Agnes. No, left-wing impeachment fantasies. Is that all it is? Honest to God, I mean, I play, but... When a man does in office what George Bush has done in office, is the contemplation of impeachment mere fantasy? When 2,500 plus American servicemen and women are dead, gone looking for crap in a foreign country that the president knew from the get-go wasn't there, no how, no way, and trying to get rid of a man that abjectly immoral, amoral, sociopathically, psychotically freaking evil... That's just a left-wing impeachment fantasy. Right. And, of course, you do know that Henry Hyde admitted some time back that impeaching Bill Clinton, he said it. It came out of his mouth. This isn't some left-wing impeachment fantasy. Henry Hyde, Republican, you know, the guy that broke up a marriage, destroyed a couple of lives, and had the nerve to sit there and talk about Bill Clinton's immorality. Yeah, that Henry Hyde, Republican. He admitted later on that the entire Monica Lewinsky impeachment thing was just nothing more or less than a big old-fashioned get-even for Richard Nixon. No, it didn't backfire, dear. It didn't backfire at all. This says, you know, the Republicans lost ground in 1998. Yeah, they lost the Senate for a year or two by one.
No, I meant personally.
No, it didn't backfire on Hyde personally either. He just retired quietly, you know, he's going his merry way. But the point here, he admitted it was payback for Richard Nixon. And of course, that's what the Republicans, you know, at least that 30 or 40%, that 30-35% that still think that George Bush is, you know, a good godly man, they think this is payback for what Bill did. It's not. It is not. Now, granted, they set themselves a standard for impeachment that includes sexual peccadilloes, but we're not trying to play sex with this. This has to do with human lives. This has to do with human deaths. And the funny thing, out of all of this painstaking talk about how the Democrats think, oh, well, we can't talk about impeaching George Bush. That's not the way to take back the House and the Senate. They print a graphic showing relevant opinion data. 1998, Bill Clinton. If the president lied about having a sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky, should he be impeached? No. 64%. Yes, 27%. Notice how close that is to the president's poll numbers today. 27% to 34%. 7%. That's almost within the margin of error for the Bush polling data right now. And then that fascinating little group that I just want to have a party with sometime. Don't know, not sure. 9%. I'm going to go in there and sell snake oil and come out rich with the not sure bunch. Now, but, you know, this Democrats, oh, we can't talk about impeaching the president. 2005, George Bush. If the president didn't tell the truth about the reasons for the Iraq War, should Congress consider impeachment? No. Let's see, what was no on Bill Clinton? 64%. No on George Bush, 45%. Yes, impeach Bush, 51%. And this is before the Dubai ports deal. And then that crowd, that crowd we want to party with, not sure, 4%. You know, down from 9, not sure on Bill Clinton, not sure, 4. So the graphic gives the lie to everything that the Wall Street Journal argues in the body of its text. Impeachment advocates are undaunted. Just because you can't... Impeachment advocates are undaunted. Quote, just because you can't win a political battle doesn't mean certain battles shouldn't be fought, says Bob Furtick, a founder of the Impeach PAC effort. Quote, if we don't hold a president accountable for lying to start a war, we might as well throw out the Constitution of the United States. Well, Bob, you know, I mean, George likes that idea. This is just, you know, after DowningStreet.org, 300,000 email addresses demanding impeachment. That's who commissioned the Zogby poll that said at the time 42% of likely voters supported that step if it were proved the president had lied about pre-war intelligence. By November, it was up to 51%. God only knows where it is now. God only knows where it is now.
They're not pulling.
And so, I either we talk about it, either we demand it. You know, I wrote a letter to my congressman a long time ago saying, you know, I need you to sign on to John Conyers' impeachment inquiry. It ain't happened. But I was heard. The letter I got back that time around had my name struck out and Bob written across the top of it. It was impressive. It was nice. Yeah, it was signed with the real pen, not the machine. But the thing that's bothersome, whether it's John Kerry wanting to give the veto to George Bush, thinking that someday some president is really going to have a high old time with the veto and really bust some Republican chops down the road. Do you remember when Bill Clinton got behind NAFTA because they thought that they could fix it later, and it never got fixed? Looking to the future on that kind of thing is pure poison. If you don't want the guy that wants it right then and there to have it,
for God's sakes, don't act on it thinking that you're going to get it in the future. John Kerry sitting there in the Oval Office would probably do a marvelous job with a line item veto. $57 million bridge to nowhere? We can't have bridges to nowhere and gone. But it's the guy who's going to have it right then and there. Holy cow, can you even imagine George W. Bush with a line item veto? I mean, if he can strike stuff out, he can pencil stuff in too, can't he? I want the $10 million for the neonatal hearing screening to go to Star Wars program. We could almost buy a tail fin for a new rocket with that $10 million. That's where we are. And where we also are is at the end of tonight's program. And as ever, I'm tickled to death to have had you all aboard. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, and all points in between and around the globe. We'll be here. You be here. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. It was engineered by Randy Kerbway, and Ben Birch, our dear friend at WhiteRoseSociety.org, maintains the stream as well as the archives of this and many other wonderful liberal talk programs. Support Ben. He supports you by providing it for you. And the program is, of course, brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Because they believe in the American dream, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.